Trevor is asking if I could sing a couple of songs and give a word of a testimony. I'm sure that he will give a wee envelope as well. But I don't want to accompany music. Does anybody stick their hand up? We want to accompany some sort of music. Yeah, well, I really accompany music, you're going to love me. But you don't play accompany music, you're going to love me. So I'm going to sing a wee song, and it's called "You Won't Get Any Bible." I'm sure you all have a book, a Gideon Bible. I'm going to sing it. Stick your hand up if you have a Gideon Bible. You don't have a Bible to use against. So I'm going to sing a wee song called "You Won't Get Any Bible." The words here as well. Listen carefully. Still, in the mirror on the wall, a lonely room where he would still try to end it all, lying on the table, right by the telephone, was a light that shines like a beam. Just an old Gideon Bible from a little gold sign, and he cried when he read it at Calvary how Jesus died for him. The pages were cold and brown, and the binding was cracked today, but there in that old Gideon Bible saving grace. Never more to be fighting, often for in love, fighting the Lord with a hundred boys who were under his command. One day in the heat of battle, he was hit by Jesus died for me. The pages
The trailer's going to have to keep you in. We'll sing one more now, Trevor. Do one more. This wee song is called Hold On To Jesus. And I think that every one of us in our lives have to hold on to tight to Jesus at different times in our lives. And I'll talk a wee more about that later on. And this one's called Hold On To Jesus. You can sing along with me too. You're allowed to sing with familiar words. You probably don't know these songs. But here we go. Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah. But it's great to be here.
I was born in 1963. I was born in 1963. When you're trying to work out the age, right? I was married. So, I'm 56 past there, September 17th. And I lived in a place called Clonie. Does anybody know where Clonie is? Have a clue. Stick your hand up if you know where Clonie is. You don't see. Well, Clonie is probably famous for all the wrong reasons. It was 1972 that Bob got off of Clonie and killed 9 people. And the youngest one was Kathleen. So I lived in a place called Clonie. And that was my first real experience of bereavement. A young girl called Catherine Aiken, who might have been friendly with the parents who knew very well, had passed away. My mother and father, my mother worked as a cook in the local school, and the father was the police at that time. And it was a difficult time living through the troubles, going out and checking up in the car and taking different routes and all the things that we do. Went to the Presbyterian Church. Has anybody any Presbyterians in the right? Jesus with water, so don't be free brave enough to put their hands up. Have we any church in Ireland people in?
Yeah.
Woo! So the rest of our world. Congregational church. So let's hear a cheer for the congregational church tonight. I went to the Presbyterian church and grew up. But I suppose the faith of the gospel probably was sown as a child, as I grew up. And went to Sunday school. We went to Sunday school without meeting every week. My mum was in all the different organizations in the Presbyterian church, and the choir, and, you know, PWA, and all the things. And I think it's so important, and maybe Charlie can say this here, but it's so important that we sow the seeds of the gospel in children's lives at a young age. And unfortunately, that's another thing that's too popular at the moment. I know in my church, you know, Johnny doesn't want to go to church, that's great, so he doesn't want to go. You know, and that's not good. Because I can remember, you know, on a Saturday night, it used to be on a bath night and Sunday school lessons and all that sort of stuff, and you had to go to them, you know. So I don't know if anybody over right here was bath night and Saturday night or not, you know. You had to go to Sunday school lessons and all that sort of stuff. Well, they're not too clean up around here, Trevor, at all, you know. And that's what we're feeling, maybe we're not getting parents nowadays are not maybe sowing the seeds of the gospel and children's life. Learning the wee Bible verses and teaching them wee hymns and stuff like that. And that certainly was the case in our family home. I went to school and it was a bad wee opportunity. Good things that were probably not good. I went through school, and after that school, I went to work for a man called Eric Hobson, who was a local Democratic Christian in the city. And I was always up singing, it seemed to be in church at the front, you know, David would sing, and my grandfather was vexed in the church, and he always sat in the backstage. So I used to stand up behind him and sing, and he'd run out white bums out of his pocket and was black as your boots, you know. But our fond memories of church and growing up, and our whole life revolved around the church. The church for us was the community centre. It was the heart of the community. And we did everything there. That's where life revolved around. So after I left school, I went to work for Red Cross and Democratic Mission, and I drifted away from God. I started getting involved in music, and playing the keyboard, playing the guitar, and that sort of stuff. And I got involved in a dance band as well. You know, and that was probably maybe 18 or so. They say there's a broad road and there's a narrow road, and we're told that in scripture. On the broad road, every suitcase goes. You can take any suitcase you want on the broad road, everything goes on the broad road. But we're told what the broad road leads to. The broad road leads to where? You don't know the scriptures up here, Trevor, and all you're telling me to do. Broad road leads to destruction. But I was on the road to destruction, or I was on the road to hell. And I probably didn't even know that it was going on the road to hell. You know, I still believed, you know, that if I died, that or many had to me, that I was still in heaven. And unfortunately, that is the case with many people today. Many people believe that if they go to church on a Sunday and if they say a few prayers and, you know, they do good stuff, sure, I'm on there. And yet we're told clearly that is not the case in Scripture. And I thought that too. I got involved probably in drinking too much as well. And I was on the road to destruction. No doubt about it. But over a period of time, I married my wife in April, and this is how I moved up to the Church of Ireland. We moved to a place called New Dublin's, where nobody here would probably know where New Dublin's is, but it's outside of Derry, and we bought a house there. And my whole life at that time revolved around, number one, making money, buying as big a house as I could possibly afford, driving the best cars I probably could afford, and probably enjoying myself out there in the land and drinking. But I must say I was not alive, I was drinking too much for anyway. And we know that can lead to arguments, it can lead to destruction, it can lead to other things in your life. There's no doubt about it. But I was on that road to destruction. And I'm playing with that every weekend with all that sort of stuff. And then, later 4 months ago, I moved into a room with another four or five guys who had other dental practice outside the ordinary area. We sort of split it up, and we were splitting sort of the takings 5 days. It was great, everything was going great, we were doing really, really well. And then the work sort of dried up. When the work dried up, then arguments started and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we're fighting and arguing. It's probably how the Lord works in your life, too. I come home one day and I said to my wife, I've left my job. And she says to me, what? How are we going to pay the mortgage? How are we going to pay keep things going? What is going on? And we know that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, at that stage, I wasn't really going to church once a month, and I wasn't really believing at all. I turned completely away from God, and all the things had become important. And the Lord works in mysterious ways. My wife then, April, she took sick. She took seriously sick at that time. She was going through treatment and all the sort of stuff that you do. But it was something she wasn't like talking about because she just wasn't going to hang her away. But we were worried about her and Michael. And then the mother died. So I was out of work. Gabriel had to save my wife. And my mother died. And, you know, who do you turn to when things are not going well? Who's the only one you can turn to? You turn to God. But that's exactly what I did. The seeds that maybe have been sown in my life and maybe haven't been reaped anything at that stage, I turned to God. And I was crying out to Him for help. Lord, help me. And God doesn't seem to be answering. It's a bit like, you know, Jesus went on the storm, the disciples in the storm, and they're across the Sea of Galilee, and the waves were banging up against the boat and all that sort of stuff. And where was Jesus? He was sleeping through all this stuff. And I was praying to God for you, that seemed as if maybe Jesus was sleeping. And maybe you're going through the storms of life, maybe. Maybe you're getting battered at the mass. Maybe things are not going well in the family home. Maybe illness is knocking on the door. We all have storms knocking on our door at some stage. The storms of sickness. The storms of relationships right around. Storms of bereavement. Storms of depression. Storms of anxiety. All the different storms can knock at our door. There's not one person at this point in life that a storm won't knock at your door some stage. But the only person that can help you through that storm is Jesus. That's the only person that can help you through that storm. Trevor says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Come with me, all you do, and I will leave you, and I will embrace you. That is only personal. But I find myself crying out to God, God, help me. Help me. And the Lord does answer my prayer. And I've been working with a Christian man who belonged to the Free Presbyterian Church in Marfield, James Gray. That man was a real inspiration to me. Does anybody know James Gray? Nobody? Yep. Trevor knows him. Was there any Free Presbyterians on here tonight? None. But I'm blessed that the Free Presbyterian Church that I was saved. The Lord led me to James. The plans I have for you, Jeremiah 28, I know the plans I have for you. Plans. And I led to James. And we started talking about faith. And we started talking about, you know, my relationship with God, how I drifted away from Him, how I was on the road to destruction. You know, and through his ministry, and through William McVeigh, who was the Free Presbyterian minister, he used to come down onto where we were working. You know, and go to their church and hear the gospel message. You know, maybe I didn't hear the gospel message, or maybe it was preached before, but my ears were closed yet. And we're told that people in Scripture, their ears can be closed to the Scriptures at times, you know. You know, it says here in John chapter 12, and again Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisee said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not alone who judge, but I am the Father who sent me. You know, sometimes our ears can be closed to the Word of God. And I think the Pharisees do. Their ears were closed to the Word of God. Jesus was there to come from, testify to them. And their ears were closed to the Word of God. And sometimes our ears can be closed too. And sometimes you don't want to hear it. Because our life has to change. We have to give up the things that we know that we're doing wrong. But to be honest, sometimes you don't like giving up the things that we're doing wrong. Because you like them. Sometimes you don't like giving up the things that we know we're doing wrong because we're like them. We like them, we want to hold, the devil's got a hold of us. But one of the things that I didn't like giving up was playing with that. The devil had a hold of me. I remember going to James' church and he was speaking, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, this born again, what's this all mean? You know, this new spirit within me, a new way of living. But I remember, you know, I was under so much conviction of sin that I remember coming home one evening and driving up to the SU pass and pulling up to the side and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my life. Say, Lord, come into my life. I know that I'm on the road to destruction. Help me. But I promise that I'm going to try to follow you the best I possibly can in my life and my own. You know, we're told in Scripture, unless a man repents again, repents, turns away from the things that he's doing wrong, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to turn away from those things that we know doing wrong. But sometimes you don't even know these things, we think that's going to do no harm. They need the bigger things. And bigger things. And bigger things. And we've all sinned from Romans 3:23. We've all sinned from fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person in here tonight that hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I was blessed that my wife had better there than the decision to have to be. You know, am I going to follow the Word or am I going to follow God? And that's the decision I've been on that difficult hopefully at some stage you're like, who am I following? Who am I following? Am I following my own desires? Or am I following God's way? Now, if you're not following God's way, then you're on the road to destruction, you're on the road to hell. And maybe that's not a word that maybe we like to hear. But we hear plenty of it in the scripture. Depart from me, first, for I never knew you. Now, what do you think is the biggest battle that I have when it comes to make a decision to follow Christ? And I think it's the thing that caused me the most bother to give up. It was the last man that said it. The devil had a real hold on my life through that. And I found it really, really difficult. What has the devil got to hold in your life? What part of your life do you find hard handed over to God? You know, could be maybe you're cheating your taxes, but sure, if nobody knows, you're okay. On the outside of it, sure, nobody knows. God knows. And God knows the secret of all our hearts. And you might have to do well. But God spoke to me. And we have to repent. And admit. I don't like that word. Admit. ABC. Admit. Believe and come. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Admit. And I have to admit that I was on the road to destruction. I have to believe and trust in God as Lord and Savior. And I have to come and follow. And that's something that's not easy to do. Meet your breakfast. John the Baptist. You're tempted, you believe. That's what he told them when they go right back to the wilderness. Repent. And we have to repent of those things. I repent of those things and I tried the best to follow God the best of what we could. I started going to church and, you know, I was nearly as if God was speaking to me the following week in church, you know that story of throw your net on the other side. Throw your net on the other side. I was fishing on the wrong side all the time and couldn't find contentment, couldn't find fulfillment, couldn't find peace. And when I threw the net on the other side, that's when life then started to be blessed. I started to go in the right direction. I started going to church, became more involved, and church taking youth. And I remember the minister, Dave Ferry, saying to me, you know, I think that God's going to be calling you for ministry. And I said, God couldn't call somebody like me because I'm not worthy enough. And his words to me were, David, there's none of us worthy enough. There's none of us worthy enough. It's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace that we are saved. By God's grace. And God's grace is clearly shown on the cross, where Christ died for you and me. That's how much God loves us. And he sent his Son to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins, for our redemption. None of us are good enough. But then I started to think, you know, maybe God has called me. And when we look at the scriptures, you know, God can use some of the most unlikely characters. Moses, what did it happen? Did Moses not commit murder? And yet God chose him. What about King David? Adultery, when they killed Uriah, set him up in the front line, and he got him killed. What about Matthew, the tax collector? The biggest rogue probably. And yet God used him. Paul, known as Saul. He was killing Christians, or tell those who possess the crystals, let them simply persecute them. And yet God called him and he used them. And he used them in a mighty, mighty way. And I think that God can use each and every one of us in a mighty, mighty way when we open up our hearts and our minds to him. And maybe God is calling you to do something tonight. But maybe you're refusing that call, and we often serve and be no good at that. Do you see Mary at the back of the church? If you want to ask her, she was being branded at that. We're all called to ministry. We're all called to serve. We're all called to serve. Serve God each and every day. When I started to look at some of the people that God called, I really felt that call of God in my life. That's when I made the decision that I'd go off from the ministry and try and serve God the rest of my life. We live in a world today where it's not easy to serve God. You know, you only have to go to Tesco's, Primark, on a Sunday morning to see where people are going like. Shopping centers are the new church cathedrals. People are flocking to them. We have drifted completely away from God. Even members of the royal family have drifted away from God. But they're trying to cover up some of the shameful things that they have done. We have scandals in our community. Alcohol is raised, drug abuse, all these different things are raised. We're living in a corrupt society where the Christian faith is hammered by many people. But yet, God tells us to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to sow the seed of the gospel. We're told that from the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower explained when the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what is sown from the heart. You know, sometimes when we grow up, the seeds were sown, as I said earlier on. But sometimes the seeds can be snatched away. The devil, he's there to snatch them away. He's there to use that little path, down the road to destruction. But for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy. Yet the person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises from the truth of the word, that person immediately falls away. And many people have come to missions or meetings like this, and they jump up and they say, I'm saved, I'm saved. And yet, when hardship, persecution, when they have to give up certain things in their life, because they have no roots, they fall away. They backslide. But as for what the sower among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares and the worries and the burdens of God choke the word, and it gains nothing. The cares of the worries and the lure of wealth. That was certainly me. The cares of the word and the lure of wealth. And they yield nothing. Trevor talked about Corruption Street when he was down in All Saints Clinic. You know, there's so many television programs now that are leading people down the wrong path. Things that are shown on television now that are in the norm are meant to be the norm. but go completely against God's word. But many people wouldn't muster for anything. If there were a Bible study on or a meeting, they would miss it. So they wouldn't miss the soaps. The lure of the word wealth, but it yields nothing. But as we want to score on good soil, this is when he hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit, yields it 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Those who hear the word yield the fruit. And I found out that when they hear the word of God and yield the fruit, that one day they will stand before God and hear those great words, well done, good and faithful servant. To see the kingdom that I have prepared for you. I'd ask you tonight, which one are you? Which seat are you in? Or which bride are you? Has the seat been snatched away? Are you the one that jumps up and you know this? And the minute you go out that door, you're back doing the same things that you've always done. That has made absolutely no change in your life whatsoever. Is that you? So I'll carry on, and so as long as nobody knows, I'll be okay. Know that troubles or persecution comes, you're gone. But you won't let the seed stone among the thorns, that you're lured by the cares of the world, you're worried about your retirement, and you have enough money for it. And you're worried about all these different things. We had a man in our parish a couple of years ago. He worked in Chief Watt. And he came with a tight man, and he loved us. But he couldn't really get retired. He was going to have a very big pension and a great retirement fund. And he was at the band practice on the Thursday night, the tight band. And he's telling everybody, you know, I'm retired, I'm ready, I'm retired, I'm up. And I'm going to fish, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. His wife comes around every Sunday morning because they always go to church. And she said to him, Andy, come on, are you not getting ready? Andy had passed away in his chair. Andy, old Fortney, had got caught up in the care of the world, the lure of wealth, but worrying about everything else except his salvation. And sometimes we need to see. Or arguing with him, who's better fit. And we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I praise the Lord that he spoke unto my life. I praise him and thank him. And it would be great if you left tonight, and if you're not saved, that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you too would one day hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus tells us right here, there's only really one way to get heaven. By the way, the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to sing one more wee song about this. Wee song. It's a wee prince song, as it is called, Don't Give Up on Me, Lord, Don't Give Up on Me.
Don't give up. lonely road, the dark bed did not sleep. A bit of sad places where a good man should be. Off the evil spirit storm brought me to my knees. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me.
Everybody clap your hands.
Don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. I'm getting it all together, just you wait and see. I'll be back on the path, right close in front of me. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me. I know I haven't done the things that I set out to do. Somewhere along life's highway, I wandered far from you. Now that I am back on home, on the road that leads to you. Please listen for my footsteps, don't give up on me. Everybody, don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. I'll get it all together, just you and see. I'll be back, all the time. I will stand on thee. So please don't give up, Lord. Don't give up on me. Journey nearing the end of time. I don't have far to go. Feel your presence near, Lord. See the lights of hope. Please help me with these last few steps as I get close to you. You know I love you, dear Lord, so don't give up on me. Everybody, don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. Getting it all together, just you and me. I'll be back on the path where I will stand from the lead. So please don't give up, Lord. Don't give up on me.
One more time. Before you sing one more, I'm going to sing one more.
Don't give up on me. I'm getting it all together, just you and me. I'll be back on the path where I once lived on me. So please don't give up, Lord. Don't give up on me. So please don't give up, Lord. Don't give up on me.
The parents are making me sing one more. I'll almost sing this recent here, because you know them all.
Sing a lot. Everybody clap your hands. Do all of these ones. And we'll find all of these ones. Here we go.
Southern morning, when it strikes your head to you. Thank you.
this would only be probably needless. This is so trip, especially for you. Get up here. All those up.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's time. Jesus is strength. He knows that you will do battle. He knows, God knows in His Word, that you will have difficulty. Because He knows there's an enemy to your soul. And Jesus Himself says in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't write you a love letter, dear Mary, dear John, I hate you so much, I have designs to destroy your soul in hell for all eternity. He doesn't write you a letter. But He put obstacle after obstacle. He put difficulty after difficulty. He put excuse after excuse. Stow it into your mind. I couldn't be a Christian with the things that He did. I couldn't be a Christian with the places that I went to. I couldn't be a Christian with the people that have hurt me. And if that boy's a Christian, I don't want to be in heaven with them. Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? In other words, you said, I'm going to go to hell because I didn't like it. Seek ye the Lord. Strive to enter. I know this also in Philip, I haven't been down to preaching, but listen. Why he may be found. There's an awful lot of theological doctrine and debate where you can commit the sin of blasphemy. You know what the sin of blasphemy is? Where you grieve the Spirit of God, where you come to a place where you never hear His voice again. I believe that's possible, because why would God's Word say it? God can strive, not going to let you do it. Genesis 6:3, and my Spirit shall always strive the man. What does that mean? God tugging at your heart's strength, wooing you to Himself with the cords of love, bringing you with every faculty of heaven. And by the way, God does not contrary to what other people teach, God does not overrule your will. Remember, I was in the Bible college, and used to get this argument over irresistible grace. You can see it whether you want it or not. Well, my Bible, I can't find that anywhere. My Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. God will not force Himself on you. And it just might be you're speaking to someone in this gathering tonight. You've heard David and the things that lured him into the world, that sought to bring him on the road to destruction and the final path of destruction. You have to overcome those. Because God can withdraw from you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon while he is near, and then repentance, let the wicked forsake his way. So if you don't forsake your way, you're still wicked. And you know what the Bible says in Psalms? The wicked shall be turned into hell. And then they forget God. And do you know what the final analysis of wickedness is? People that forget God. Now there's two people came into this. Now there's about 100, there's almost 200 people. There's about 100 people. There's two people, really, if you mean this week, the saved and the lost. That it? Matters not being a woman or a man. Save the Lord. Now, what way are you going out of this meeting? What way are you? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is needed. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his sins. Let him return unto the Lord, deal abundantly. That really man that will be buried tomorrow, Robert Morris. I had the great joy of leading him to Christ almost 5 years ago. What difference that made for the would make for the funeral tomorrow. If I was doing your funeral tomorrow, what could I say about you?
Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, we pray for grace, Lord, we pray for courage. Thank you for David's testimony. Thank you, Lord, for saving this man. And Lord, not only to save him, but to challenge him into your service. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that he is in his church up in All Saints through him. We thank you for those who are coming to faith, and Lord, how the church is coming alive again through what you've done in his heart. And Lord, we recognize the significance and the importance that every life that's here in this meeting, Lord, can make the same difference in their environment, in their community. Father, will you grant tonight that any soul that came into this meeting, whether they're backslidden or whether they're not saved, Lord, we don't let them leave the same way they came. We ask, O God, that you give them the grace and the courage to enter into what God has offered. Lord, we pray for that courage to defy the devil and delight in the Lord. And maybe you can just be yours out in God's presence now where you're seated. Maybe you can say, Lord, I want to know you tonight. You can just say that, Lord.